Well, good day to you. It's Joel with the King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
Did you know that it's extremely common for adults to fall behind in their daily intake of magnesium? That means their muscles, nerves, bones, and energy production doesn't run as efficiently as it should. Well, now you can get the magnesium your body craves in easy-to-take, eco-friendly capsules from Organifi. Organifi's essential magnesium gives you a daily dose of high-absorption magnesium glycinate in easy-to-take capsules that are gentle on your stomach and strong on support for your body and mind. Combined together, essential magnesium and Organifi Gold make a great pre-sleep duo, helping you get the rest and nutrition your body needs. Each Organifi blend is science-backed to craft the most effective doses with ingredients that are organic and free of fillers. And the best part is that you can experience Organifi's high-quality products without breaking the bank. Head over to www.organifi.com/bestofyou and use code bestofyou for 20% off your entire order. That's www.organifi.com/bestofyou. Hey everyone, I'm Dr. Allison, and I'm so glad you're here to discover what brings out the best of you. This podcast is all about breaking free from painful patterns, mending the past, and discovering our true selves in God. I can't wait to get started as we learn together how to become the best version of who we are with God's help. Hey, everyone, and welcome back to this week's episode of the Best of You podcast. I am so glad you're here. I think today's topic is so relevant for so many of us as we're navigating all sorts of relationships. There's this category that I think we don't talk about enough that applies to a lot of different issues that we see surfacing in our relationships, and that's this category of emotional immaturity. And we're going to get into today exactly what that is and how it's different from more significant or severe psychological disorders, and why I think it's important to understand this category when we're navigating our relationships. Understanding emotional immaturity is important for a number of reasons. Number one, I think it's really common. I see it a lot. I don't think we've done a very good job of learning how to become emotionally mature humans. And there are a lot of reasons for that. So in general, a lot of times when we're navigating relationships, whether with friends, whether with romantic partners, whether as parents or with the people in our communities, emotional immaturity is showing up far more often, far more prevalently than people might think. And so when we can name something like emotional immaturity and recognize it, it helps us learn how to navigate those situations more strategically with more wisdom. Number two, it's also really helpful to understand the difference between something like emotional immaturity and a more significant, deep-seated personality disorder like narcissism. They often get conflated, and it's important to understand the difference because the way you might interact with someone who's emotionally immature is going to be different than how you might interact with somebody who's narcissistic. And then third, it's really important to recognize emotional immaturity in ourselves. And I can honestly tell you that as I look back over my own adult life, I think I was a fairly emotionally immature human well into my 30s. And I do not say that with any amount of shame. I say that with some objectivity. I had a lot of really overdeveloped qualities. I would say in some ways I was more mature than my peers. But in this area of understanding and regulating and managing my own emotions, there was some immaturity. Now, how I coped with not knowing how to understand or regulate my emotions was to retreat. I didn't act out or lash out. out of my emotions. So nobody would have necessarily looked at me and said, oh, she has some emotional immaturity, right? I chose the flight option of the flight or flight spectrum. And so I would just keep my emotions completely out of those relational interactions. And then I would just disappear, sort of escape, where I would essentially numb my emotions, which I didn't realize I was doing at the time, give myself some distance, and then enter back into those relationships without ever really communicating on behalf of those emotions. And as you can imagine, that doesn't lead to a lot of intimacy, right? I could perform well when I was with other people, then I would retreat and I would numb through watching television or food or not really egregiously unhealthy ways of numbing, but still numbing nonetheless. I wasn't really giving myself the care that I needed. And so when I would enter into a relationship that required some emotional maturity, I wouldn't know what to do. And that's when that emotional immaturity would come out, right? And I would begin to notice, oh my gosh, I don't know what to do when someone is giving me constructive feedback, or I don't know how to speak up on behalf of myself, or I'm overreacting in a big way to a very minor disappointment. Again, I was pretty good at hiding those overreactions from other people, but I knew what was going on, and it was inhibiting my ability to forge intimate relationships with other people. And so emotional immaturity is something I think a lot of us struggle with. And again, I really want to emphasize there is no shame in recognizing some of these features in ourselves. And I also want to emphasize that we don't want to judge others where we see some of these features. We do want to set healthy boundaries. We do want to extract ourselves from emotionally immature dynamics in our relationships, but we want to be able to do that without self-shame or judgment of others. Before we dive into what emotional immaturity is, what it looks like, and how we grow in emotional maturity, I want to give you just a brief overview of the history of understanding emotions to help you understand why this relationship to our emotions is so complicated and why we run into emotional immaturity in other people and sometimes in ourselves. The reality is that our understanding of the role of emotions really came into the forefront significantly not until the late 20th century, particularly with the rise of psychological research in the 60s and 70s, which began to focus a lot on attachment theory. And if you think about attachment, it's really getting at the importance of nurturing emotional well-being in children. When John Bowlby and Mary Ainsworth were studying young children and how they reacted emotionally when a parent left the room, right, in those famous attachment studies, they were observing how a child's emotions were affected by the type of attachment he or she had with their parent. That research came into the forefront in the 60s and 70s, but it didn't really trickle down into having a practical impact on parenting until the last several decades. And so many people who were raised in the 70s, 80s, even the early 90s, there was just a very different emphasis on emotions. Even in healthy families, emotions weren't necessarily discussed a lot. We didn't really understand the importance of honoring a child's emotion, validating a child's emotion. All of those concepts are very new to psychology research, and it's also very new in parenting paradigms, right? If you've been parenting young children in the last couple of decades, no doubt you've probably become aware of how important it is to help your kids understand their emotions. But again, that's very new. That's quite recent. And so a lot of people are just simply walking around with a deficit of information about how to manage and regulate and understand emotions. It's just sort of a blind spot that a lot of people have. Now, the shift towards recognizing and validating children's emotions has led to different parenting styles, and these parenting styles prioritize open communication, more transparency, and the development of this secure emotional foundation that we talk about in terms of attachment. attachment. But again, that's fairly recent, right? If you've been parenting kids in the last couple of decades, you've probably given your kids a stronger foundation in that understanding of their emotions. But a lot of people just simply don't have that foundation. And even if we have some of the knowledge, we're still working to correct some flawed messages that we got about emotions. And that's why, again, there's just no shame in any of this, but knowledge is power. And the more we understand what emotional maturity looks like, the more we can develop it in ourselves, and the more we can strive to bring it into our relationships with other people. What is emotional immaturity? What do we mean by that? Well, it's just a state where someone has a really hard time managing their emotions effectively. They struggle to regulate their emotions, which simply means that they have an emotion and tend to immediately act out of that emotion, versus emotional maturity, which is having an emotion, naming the emotion, and then regulating that emotion. A lot of times you'll hear me say, speaking on behalf of an emotion instead of speaking from an emotion, right? So if I experience anger, if I don't have the maturity to know how to regulate my anger, I might just go around getting really angry in the moment at whoever triggered that anger, whether it's justified or not. But if I've learned how to regulate my emotions, I can notice, oh, I'm feeling angry. I wonder what that's about. I can do some self-inquiry. I can discern whether that anger is justified. I can discern the source of that anger. I can discern whether that anger is because somebody has wronged me and I need to actually go have a conversation with that person. Or I can also discern if that anger is something going on inside of me. The other person actually didn't do something wrong, but I felt angry, which means there's something else that has happened. So for example, let's say you're with your adult children and one of them talks about how they're thinking about moving out of state and it triggers anger inside of you. You don't like it that your young adult child is thinking about moving far away from you. An emotionally mature person recognizes, oh, I'm angry, but I don't think my child has done something wrong. So how do I need to manage my anger so that I don't lash out at someone who hasn't actually done something wrong? What is that anger actually about? And then you can go on a process to understand, where is that anger actually coming from? Because this person didn't actually do something wrong, right? That would be an emotionally mature response. Another example of an emotionally mature response with anger, let's say that a friend is really dismissive of you. You share something really vulnerable or really hard, and they're judgmental or critical of you, and you notice that you feel angry, right? So in that instance, the anger is warranted. It's justified. It's actually about what the other person did. But again, an emotionally mature response would be to recognize that anger, name it. Wow, that made me feel angry. And then respond effectively on behalf of the anger, such as saying something to the effect of, ouch, man, that hurts. I feel really criticized in this moment. I was looking for support. What's that about? Right? So there might even be a little edge to your voice, but you speak up on behalf of your feelings. Those are two examples of an emotionally mature, an emotionally regulated response. An emotionally immature response in each of those incidences. So let's go back to the example of where your young adult child says something to the effect of that she's thinking about moving out of state. You notice anger and you lash out. You can't do that. How could you leave everybody who loves you? You won't be okay on your own. And you actually start to go after your young adult child in a really inappropriate way that is not an appropriate response to what she shared with you, right? And so that would be an emotionally immature response. You feel an emotion, but you respond in a really immature way, and it's harmful to the other person. Let's look at that second example where a friend is dismissive or critical or even judgmental of you after you share something vulnerable. You notice that you feel anger. An emotionally immature response in that moment would be to yell at your friend, "You never listen to me. You're so selfish. I hate you." That would be an emotionally immature response. It's not immature to have the feeling of anger. The feeling of anger is valid. But when you lash out like that in an impulsive, unregulated way, you're participating in a really toxic dynamic. Your emotional response out of that anger isn't helping the situation, and it's actually making it worse. So again, when it comes to emotional immaturity, it's not that we have these emotions that is the problem. It's how we are able to regulate those emotions and respond effectively on behalf of them. The American Psychological Association defines emotional maturity as a high and appropriate level of emotional control and expression. So think about that. There's the ability to take charge and control your own emotions. I don't love that word control because we're not trying to keep them down or suppress them. We're trying to regulate them. We have the emotion, but we're in control. We're in command of them. This is that fruit of the spirit of self-control that we get out of Galatians 5. I can have that emotion, but I'm also in control of it. And then the second component is expression. It's not that we're stifling that emotion. It's not that we're sidelining it or exiling it. It's that we learn how to express ourselves in a healthy way on behalf of that emotion. So control and expression are both a part of emotional maturity. When I shared with you my own experience with emotional immaturity in my 30s, I was high in control. I could control my emotions, but I could not express them. And that's what led to that emotional immaturity. I could not express my emotions. And we have to be able to express emotions to have healthy relationships with other people. So on the other hand, emotional immaturity, according to the American Psychological Association, is a tendency to express emotions without restraint or disproportionately to a situation. So again, there's those two components. The emotional behavior is out of control. You're not in control of the anger. You're not in control of the sadness. You're not in control of the fear. In an emotionally immature person, the experience of the emotion, whether it's anger or fear or disgust or whatever these key emotions are, is out of control. But they're also not being expressed in an appropriate and considered and measured manner. And if you really think about how to sum this up, when we see someone who's demonstrating emotionally immature behavior, it reminds us of the behavior we see from children. That's what it is. Someone hasn't developed past those childlike states of emotional outbursts that we expect from our children. If you are parenting a 4-year-old, a 5-year-old, a 6-year-old, right, they have emotional outbursts. They have disproportionate reactions to situations. They don't always know how to express themselves effectively on behalf of their emotions. We expect this behavior from our children. But when we see this behavior in adults, it can do damage to relationships. Every week, I'm more thankful for my Good Ranchers meat subscription. I don't have to worry about imported meat, unknown vaccines, or experimental things in the meat I feed my family. With conversations being sparked around the use of mRNA vaccines in animals, Good Ranchers drew a line in the sand. Their products are 100% American and 0% mRNA vaccine. During their Say MRNO to mRNA sale, Good Ranchers is offering you a free 10-pound Easter ham with any subscription. Their ham is fantastic, and it's valued at $119. You will get it for free with my code BESTOFYOU. So go to GoodRanchers.com today to say MRNO for your meat and get your free ham. During this sale, every subscription enjoys $25 off any box of free $119 Heritage ham and the Good Ranchers lifetime quality commitment. Their promise to never compromise on quality. Plus, with their Never MRNO pledge, you can be sure that you're getting meat that's free from any unknown or potentially harmful additives every single month. What I really love about Good Ranchers is their commitment to transparency. They believe that you have the right to know exactly what's in your food, and they're not afraid to show you. They're amazing supporters of this show, so let's support them and the stand they're taking. Go to GoodRanchers.com and use my code BESTOFYOU to get your free Easter ham today. GoodRanchers.com, code BESTOFYOU to say MRNO to mRNA. Good Ranchers, American meat delivered. Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals make eating better every day easy. Wherever tomorrow takes you, be ready with pre-prepared, chef-crafted, and dietitian-approved meals delivered right to your door. You'll have over 35 different options a week to choose from, including keto, calorie smart, vegan and veggie, and more. And there's even more to enjoy with over 55 nutrition-packed add-ons that help make your weekly meal planning even more delicious. I love Factor's restaurant-quality meals that are ready to heat and eat whenever you are. They take just 2 minutes to cook. Factor is the perfect solution if you're looking for fast, upscale options done easily. Head to factormeals.com/bestofyou50 and use code bestofyou50 to get 50% off. That's code bestofyou50 at factormeals.com/bestofyou50 to get 50% off. So here are some basic examples of emotionally immature behaviors. And I want to be clear that we can all do these things in any given moment. But as with anything, when we begin to define something as emotionally immature, we're seeing a consistent pattern of these behaviors over time. There's an inability to handle constructive feedback. We might see a lot of defensiveness rather than someone being able to consider the validity of the constructive feedback. I talk a lot about defensiveness in I shouldn't feel this way, because I see it as a yellow flag for how well we're managing our emotions. Emotional immaturity might show up as someone who shifts blame onto others instead of taking responsibility for their own role in a situation. If I can't take responsibility for my own emotions, I'm going to be tempted to blame others for the emotions I'm experiencing. It's your fault that I'm angry. If you wouldn't do this, I wouldn't feel this way. We see a lack of problem-solving skills. As adults, we have to sometimes compartmentalize our emotions. We have to be able to honor our emotions and also set our emotions aside to solve problems. For example, you might have a big emotional response to how your child is being treated at school, and that emotion is valid, but you'll need to be able to compartmentalize that emotion to figure out how best to solve the problem. What do I need to do? Who do I need to talk to? How do I approach this situation to help bring a solution to it? We might see constant overreactions, just big reactions to minor events. We see little ability for self-reflection, for someone to be able to reflect on the emotions that they have. We see a lack of awareness of other people's feelings. It's really hard to understand other people's feelings if you don't understand your own. And we see some impulsiveness, right? Where there's this acting out of emotion instead of this healthy restraint, honoring an emotion while simultaneously being able to think critically about a situation. Emotional immaturity can stem from a lot of different factors. And so it's really important, if you're in a relationship with someone where you see some of these qualities, to wonder, to get curious about what the root of that is. Sometimes it's stemmed in just a lack of knowledge. It can stem from childhood wounds where we've been enmeshed with a parent or a caregiver. I'll get into more of what I mean by that. Again, there is no shame in any of this. And then sometimes, and this is important to name, emotional immaturity is a symptom of a deeper-seated problem, such as something like narcissism. Emotional immaturity is a symptom of narcissism. So most people who have narcissistic tendencies also show symptoms of emotional immaturity. But people who are emotionally immature are not always narcissistic. And I really want you to hear me say that. I think that label of narcissism gets thrown around way too easily. It's an important label, especially when it fits. But there are a lot of other diagnostic criteria to name something as narcissistic or narcissism. Go back to episode 1 to listen for more about that. But again, people who are narcissistic absolutely show signs of emotional immaturity. But people who are emotionally immature are not necessarily narcissistic. They might have other really good qualities, right? They might be able to show loyalty, show responsibility, show up well in relationships. They might be a really good friend, a really good partner, a really good parent, but they struggle in this area of emotional maturity. I want to talk a little bit more about the role of enmeshment and differentiation in emotional development, because these are key features of growing in emotional maturity. So differentiation relates to an individual's ability to develop a distinct sense of self, to become someone who is separate from others. And this term is especially common as we think about families, right? Where as a young child, were you able to have a distinct sense of yourself apart from your parents? Was there an understanding that different people could have different emotional responses to the same event? So for example, maybe a family is going to a specific church, and as the kids are getting older, maybe one of the parents is starting to feel unhappy about the church service, doesn't like the music or doesn't like the sermon. Maybe another parent is feeling okay with it. They like the service. Maybe the teenager in the family is really attached to the youth group and really loves the service for that reason, right? Every single member of that family has a different emotional response to that event. And that's healthy and that's normal. And in a healthy family, there would be room for each of those different responses. And even if there's a decision made to leave the church or stay at the church, there's still an acknowledgement that different people have different emotional responses to that decision. So maybe if the decision is made to leave, it's going to be done with an understanding that this is going to be really painful for the teenager who's really attached to the youth group. And maybe we'll figure out ways to help that young person stay involved in that community. So there's an honoring of the grief that is entailed for the individual family member. Right. And again, this is a fairly nuanced concept that is fairly new. Many people, if you think about the way you were parented, let's say your parents had to move, right? You had to leave your childhood home and move out of state for a job, right? Your parents didn't have a choice. They needed to follow the job and you had to leave and you had to uproot from a school that you loved and you were really sad about that. And again, this is not to blame parents, but in that generation, it wouldn't have been untypical for parents to just say, well, this is just the way it is. You're going to have to deal with it. Right? There wouldn't have been as much emphasis on, listen, this is hard. Yes, we do have to make this move, but yes, your grief is also valid. Let's talk about it. Let's honor it. That's nuanced parenting, and a lot of us didn't get that. And so when in families, children are given that opportunity to have their own emotional responses, to take responsibility for them. It's not that their every emotional response is indulged or pleased or enabled, but that the emotional response is valid. That child learns how to regulate emotions. I can have an emotion. That emotion is valid. It doesn't mean that that emotion will drive all of the decision making, but I also recognize that I'm okay. When I have a big emotion, I'll be okay. It's honored. It's valid. I can see the merit in being part of a larger community, a larger system of people, in this case, a family, where sometimes I don't always get my way. And sometimes that's hard. And also, I'm okay because I can have my feelings about it. And then I'll find a way forward on this different path. That's the goal, right? That's what leads to emotional maturity. But when we didn't get that experience, when our emotions were sidelined for whatever reason, whether it's just parents who didn't know better or whether it was through abusive actions on the part of parents or toxic actions on the part of parents or traumas that were out of our control, we don't know what to do with those big emotions. We just don't know what to do with them. As part of my health journey this last 2 years, I've had to overhaul pretty much everything I eat. And one of the things I noticed is I wasn't getting enough electrolytes as a result of that. I'm pretty good about hydrating, but I needed something to help get me more of the electrolytes that I was missing. And that's when I discovered Element. Element is a tasty electrolyte drink mix that contains none of the junk. No sugar, no coloring, no artificial ingredients, no gluten, no fillers, nothing. It's formulated to help anyone with their electrolyte needs and is perfectly suited for anyone on a low carb or paleo diet, or just anyone who wants to prevent and eliminate headaches, muscle cramps, fatigue, sleeplessness, and other common symptoms of electrolyte deficiency. Element is used by everyone from elite athletes to everyday moms and dads who just want to get the electrolyte balance that they need. Right now, Element is offering a free sample pack with any purchase. The Element sample pack includes one packet of every flavor. This is the perfect offer for anyone interested in trying all of our flavors or who wants to introduce a friend to Element. Get yours at drinklmnt.com/bestofyou. This deal is only available through my link. You must go to drinklmnt.com/bestofyou. Element offers no questions asked refunds. Try it totally risk-free. If you don't like it, share it with a salty friend and they will give your money back. No questions asked. You have nothing to lose. When it comes to my own health journey, I've just found that I need a specialized touch. There's just a couple of complicated things going on and I really need someone to stick with me in the details. Everyone is so unique, which is why I'm so excited to introduce you to today's sponsor, Wild Health. Wild Health uses your genetics, your biometrics, and your lifestyle data to help you determine what your body needs as far as nutrition, exercise, sleep, supplements, and more so you can function at your best now and in the long run. In fact, Wild Health can determine if you have elevated levels that can contribute to a wide range of current or potential issues, from brain fog or drowsiness during your busy work day to microbiome and gut health issues to indicators for diabetes or prediabetes. I love my Wild Health coach. She is amazing. She is kind. She is smart. She has great interventions that help me every single week. Wild Health is generously extending Best of You listeners 20% off the cost of membership with code Best of You. Head over to wildhealth.com/bestofyou and use code Best of You at checkout. Make this commitment to yourself and start taking control of your health today at wildhealth.com/bestofyou. A closely related concept that's related to emotional regulation and to individuation is this term enmeshment. And again, I see a lot of enmeshment in some family systems, and it really stymies the development of healthy emotional maturity. Enmeshment is a term used in psychology to describe a relationship dynamic where the boundaries between individuals become blurred. In short, there's a lack of boundaries between two different people. And so the relationship becomes blended and blurred together at the expense of the individuals in that relationship, which can inhibit personal growth and agency as well as emotional maturity. And so, for example, a common example of enmeshment that we see happens between a parent and a child, where a parent relies on their child for emotional support in an inappropriate way. For example, one parent might confide in a child about his or her adult relationships, maybe even with the other parent. A parent might look to the child for support through a mental health issue, through an addiction, right? Children are not meant to parent their parents. They're also not meant to be their parents' primary friend. There is a power differential between a parent and a child, and it's really important that a parent understands that and doesn't turn to a child for emotional support, for caregiving, for problem solving. There's a term for this when parents do it. It's called parentification, and it's really toxic. It really undermines that child's ability to develop their own sense of self, their own responses and reactions to people. It's a parent's job to teach a child how to understand their own emotions, their own thoughts, their own opinions, their own gifts, their own preferences, right? It's a parent's job to help a child develop that strong sense of self, that strong sense of identity. And so when that process gets subverted, and a parent leans on a child to help the parent, it gets really toxic. And so if that happened to you, if you have a parent who relied on you to get their needs met, you may have a really hard time understanding your own emotions or understanding your own preferences. And their emotional immaturity had an impact on you. There's an incredible book about this topic by Lindsay Gibson. She's a therapist who writes a lot about this, and her books are just really practical and helpful. The book is called Adult Children of Emotionally Immature Parents, and it's a great read if you're resonating with some of what I'm saying about this. Enmeshment can also happen in romantic partnerships, where one partner tries to dictate the emotional climate of the relationship. It's as if you're not allowed to bring your own emotional responses into the relationship. And so if you think about that example I shared where two people can go to the same event, whether it's a church service or a family reunion, each person is going to have different emotional responses to that event. That's healthy. Part of the beauty of relationships is getting to share each person's individual reactions, right? We learn more about the other person, but in an enmeshed romantic partnership, one person feels like their job is to simply bear witness to the other's emotions. That other person can't do the work of bearing witness to yours. And so there's some emotional immaturity there that leads to a deficit in that aspect of building intimacy in that relationship. And then you can see enmeshment also in friendships or even in sibling relationships. Siblings, especially in the absence of parental emotional availability, right? In those situations where the parent was absent emotionally, siblings tend to become each other's primary source of comfort and support. And this can be a beautiful thing, but when it gets too enmeshed, it can make it difficult for the two siblings to honor each other when there's a difference of opinion or a difference of an emotional response, right? Where that enmeshment precludes each person showing up as an individual because there's a fear of losing that attachment. So again, if you think about a healthy relationship, part of it is being present to each other in our uniqueness, right? That's the beauty of relationships. I get to know you. I get to understand you. I'm so curious about how you're seeing this situation. And you get to know me. You get to understand my responses to this situation. And together, we see a bigger picture. We see more of the whole, right? We're both bringing different perspectives to a situation. And through being able to share and exchange those different emotions, those different responses to that situation, we each gain a bigger perspective, right? This is the beauty of healthy relationships. We don't want to be in relationship with someone who sees everything the exact same way we do. I need your perspective to help fill out the blind spots in mine. And you need my perspective to help you see the blind spots in yours. That requires emotional maturity. It requires me to understand my own emotions and to be able to regulate those emotions so that I can be present to you as you process your emotions. I want to close today with some tips for you if you're in a relationship with someone who is emotionally immature, as well as for those of you who are recognizing, I think I have some emotional immaturity and I want to grow in this area. So first, if you're in a relationship with someone who has some emotional immaturity, most importantly, beginning to recognize, oh, this is an example of emotional immaturity. This person can't take constructive feedback from me. This person has a lot of emotional outbursts, right? That recognition is key. The minute you begin to see that and you stop participating in that dynamic, whether through using words or through your actions, that's a huge step toward change. You're removing yourself from that dynamic. Boundaries are really critical. It is not your responsibility to regulate somebody else's emotions. That is their responsibility. Now, you can't get somebody else to do that, but you can set the boundaries to remove yourself from their expectation that you will do that. So, for example, if you have a parent that tends to lean on you for their emotional support, you can say a brief statement of compassion. Wow, that must be hard. I hope you're getting help for that. And then excuse yourself from the conversation. Your actions are going to speak loudly that you simply are not going to do the work of regulating their emotions, of helping them process their emotions. You can be a compassionate person and also excuse yourself from those conversations. I talk a lot about how to do this in I Shouldn't Feel This Way. And then another great resource, especially if you're dealing with this in the context of your own parents, is the book by Lindsay Gibson, Adult Children of Emotionally Immature Parents. Another great resource is by Nidra Glover-Tawab called Drama Free, A Guide to Managing Unhealthy Family Relationships. Now, if you're someone who's been listening going, I think some of that relates to me. How do I begin to grow in emotional maturity? A couple of steps. Number one, just practice voicing your emotions with a safe person, right? I think I'm feeling this way. I don't know what to do with this feeling, but this is what I think I'm feeling. Give yourself permission to let that young part of you, right? That beautiful child inside of you that never got a chance to understand her emotions, to do some of that work now. Find a safe person or do it in your journal or do it with God and begin to notice, man, this is the emotion I'm having right now. Isn't that interesting? Have some fun with it. Get curious about it. It can be really helpful to just establish a daily practice of checking in with yourself, whether through journaling, through prayer, taking a walk each day and checking in on your thoughts and feelings. What am I thinking? What am I feeling? What do I really want out of this situation? Just begin to consider your own thoughts and feelings. Tell a friend, this is something I'm working on. I want to grow in this. If you've dealt with a lot of trauma or you've been parentified or you're coming out of an enmeshed family system, seek the support of a professional. They can help you begin to individuate and grow in understanding your emotions. This is such powerful, beautiful work. The fruits of it are just so life-giving. Because the truth is, the more you invest in your own emotional health and your own emotional maturity, the more your relationships will become more mature. You'll just start to notice when folks have expectations of you emotionally that are unfair and that are not your responsibility. You'll start setting healthier boundaries and you'll start enjoying the vitality that emotions bring to our lives. There is nothing like that feeling of realizing that you can have all the different emotions and not be knocked off your feet by them, that you could feel grief, that you can feel sadness, that you can also feel joy, that you can also feel hope, that you can also feel disappointed. And those emotions actually become the best sort of friends. You learn to become a good friend to yourself through all of those emotions. And you develop a sense of agency, a sense of wholeness, and a sense of being anchored that no one can take away from you. Thank you for joining me for this week's episode of The Best of You. It would mean so much if you take a moment to subscribe. You can go to Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you listen to podcasts and click the plus or follow button. That will ensure you don't miss an episode and it helps get the word out to others. While you're there, I'd love it if you leave your 5-star review. I look forward to seeing you back here next Thursday. And remember, as you become the best of who you are, you honor God, you heal others, and you stay true to your God-given self.